Congregation, you've heard it 16 times this morning. 16 times. Yes, I promise to bring this child up in the fear of the Lord, with the Lord's help. 16 times. And so many more have promised to raise their children properly. But how can you? If you don't understand what the child is. You need to know what the child is. I know that. Do you? Do you fully realize what the child is? A human, a soul, created for eternity, sinful, what it is in need of? We need to know what the child is, what its road through life is, what the hopefully destiny is. We need to know those things. So that's why I've chosen a text that is very serious. You would say, that's a funeral text. No. It's also a baptism text. There's also hope in there. It's also positive. Very solemn. The text is from Hebrews 9. The verses 27 and 28. The last two verses of Hebrews 9. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So far. Congregation, we have only one thought and an application. Our mortality, as it is about to know this morning, our mortality. And like we did on the prayer evening not so long ago, one thought and points of application. Our mortality. So first, go over the text. Word after word. Let God's word speak, and then pause, and then say, what does this mean to us? What does this mean to baptism, raising children, being human, our responsibilities in life? So first the text, hopefully you are willing to follow it with the help of the Lord. First the text, word for word, and then the application. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Start there. Unto men. We are humans. We are created in God's image. And the Lord said, let us make man in his own image, own likeness. So we people, children included, in a small sense, but yet, resemble God. In his likeness, in his image, we are created as pictures of God, reflecting something back of who God is. Knowledge, righteousness, holiness, that's how Adam was made, so perfect, in God's image. You would say, we lost that. We lost that image. That's right. But there are still leftovers. We are still humans, still have a conscience, still have a soul. We're still not animals. You still have to go to an eternal place, eternal well, eternal woe. So we need to realize our children were made originally in God's image and are still image bearers of God and have a soul for eternity, and we have to value them. To see, to look at them differently than people in the world do. I listened to an interview with an atheist not too long ago, and he said, we are animals. Our children too. Same DNA, same makeup, no difference. Animals have lives too. We cannot disagree in a stronger way. We are a people made in God's image with a soul for eternity. And we have to just realize it all the time. We raise children made in God's image originally, and they must reflect the image again. May that image also be restored to know God, to live righteously and holy. So God is also a right. He has also a claim on this child. This is a child originally made in my image. They lost in a bigger sense. They are still image bearers of God. I must reflect it for God's honor, for His glory. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, we must die. Your children, two parents, our grandchildren, you yourself, younger ones, older ones, there'll be stillbirth or crib death or an accident or cancer, or they grow a little older and they get a heart attack, or in their 50s, in the 70s, in the 80s. It is going to happen. 100% true. We must die. Why? Why that language of death is so discouraging? I want to hear about that. I would like to stuck my head in the ground like an ostrich. We must die. And our children too must die, because we have rebelled against our Maker. And He has said, the day that you eat it off, you shall surely die. You must die. So you look at each other in the pew, your family, your children, your grandchildren, you look at us in the eye and say, we must all die. And we must raise our children accordingly, as we hope to see later. We must die and stand before God. And as it is appointed. Do you have an agenda? Do you have appointments? Appointed the doctor? It's also an appointment in this sense. God has appointments, and He has appointed men to die, once to die. It's in the book. It's in the agenda. It's in this providence. Not in the sense that you someday will, but the day, the hour, the minute, the second, God has appointed you and me to die that day, that place. And not only that time, also exactly the circumstances. It's not our appointment. It's not our choice. Not our will, but God's will. And God says, I have it already in mind. And you don't know it, but I do. The time appointed. Nobody dies too early. Nobody dies too late. It's the exact on God's time. It is appointed unto men to die. Think of Job. He lost 10 children one day. He said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. It was not the wind, not the disaster, it's the Lord's will. The Lord has taken. Praised, blessed be the name of the Lord, he could say. But he said, God's way was like this. Higher than our ways, different than our thoughts, God's time. So look at your children, grandchildren, beloved ones. Once they must die, and the time has been appointed. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Once. What does that mean? Yeah, someday. Once you have to die. That's not what it means. Once he means one time. only once, not twice, not three times or 10 times or 100 times, no incarnation, not death after death. You die only one time, once to die. You have only one life, not two lives. So precious life is, you have only one life, only one preparatory time. It is appointed man once to die. You can't have experience with that. You can't say, well, try it again. Many things you can do over, right? You go for a driver's test, you fail, do it again, do it again. Someday you will be successful, I hope. You can do it over. Life is only once. It is appointed unto men once to die. And that death is not natural in a sense. It is unnatural. We were not made that way. We are created in God's image and supposed to live. But death is something the Lord interferes with. The Lord says, I stop it. And as it is appointed unto men by God once to die. But after this, it's over. You die, it's over. No, when you die, it begins. Then eternity begins. Then you're at the place of your destiny. Judgment, as you have heard before, the books will be opened. Your sins revealed, the secret sins, and everything you have forgotten, it's all placed before you. The books will be opened, your conscience will speak. So after death, right after death, you must give account for every idle word you've spoken. To a holy and good-doing God has been calling and inviting you all the time. I've been having to give account. Judgment. You know what that means, right? Judgment. It means go. Leave. You are condemned. Not prepared. Can stand you. You have to die eternally. And you go to hell. Or the Lord says, come in. You blessed one of the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, you're saved. I love you with an eternal love, one or the other. Your child will hear, go, or come in. You will hear it, come in. Blessed Lord, the Lord will say, I don't know you. You knock on the door, and the door will be closed. It's over. No second time, no second life, no reincarnation. It's over. And an eternity. It is appointed to man wants to die. And after that judgment. But you know, this text is not finished. You can't stop here. Because I forgot a word. And as, like, and like it is appointed to man once to die after judgment, so Christ. See? And as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It is appointed man wants to die, and Christ was appointed as well to die. It was God's will. It's his own will. Not only the will of the Jewish people and the Pharisees to kill him, to crucify him, was the Lord's will. And as it is appointed, the man wants to die, so Christ. God's will, God's gift, God's goodness, God's justice. He came to lay down his life to also take it again. The Lord Jesus Christ, soul Christ. What does it mean, Christ? Are you a Christian? You don't even know what Christ means? What does Christ mean? Christ means anointed. What is that? Well, poured oil, ointment over his head, and chosen by the Father, and qualified by the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was included, anointed, appointed, qualified to be king and prophet and priest. The Savior Jesus Christ, anointed to those three offices. That's what Christ means. So Christ, there is a Christ, there is a Savior, there is one. So Christ was once offered. We die once, and he died once. We cannot die twice. He did not have to die twice. Once was enough. And he paid the entire price for his church. He could not possibly die in most of his sense. And two more. Once Christ died, once he offered himself. Well, look at the previous verse, verse 26. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He sacrificed himself. He gave himself. He said, here I am to do thy will, to obey, to suffer, to die. He sacrificed himself. To bear the sins of many. You know Samson? He lived at the gates of Gaza. He was so strong and he just threw them down the hill. Those heavy doors. Nothing compared to what Christ did. He bore the sins of many. The burden bearer. He lifted it up. He threw it off. He crucified himself to save a people from their sins. He bore the sins of many, of a huge crowd we cannot number, like the stars in the sky. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Not of all. Many. So how horrible. If Christ is not our Savior, then we have to bear the sins ourselves and be lost under it forever and ever. No end to that judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, do you hear that? That's an address. It mentions people. Why those people? That's what it says. And unto them, who? Unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Do you eagerly look for him, desire him, long for him? That's the mark. You can know all your misery, and you need to know it. You need to know something about the law and the sound doctrine. That's great. But is there that longing, the desire, that real hunger to look for him? Where is he? I would love to meet him. I would love to see him. I would love to hide under him. I would like to have to walk with him, to look for him. Some of you say, I don't know that. There's no room in my heart. I don't see the need to look for him. He's so unknown. It's so vague. But others would say, I have seen him before. And I sometimes look for him unto salvation. And sometimes I see it and longs so eagerly that he would come back and may see him again. And sometimes God's children are attacked. You don't look for him. But let me help them. Have you not seen preciousness in him? Have you not hungered for him? Have you seen something of to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, to bear the sins of many, that you long for him, believe in him, need him and nothing else but him, in your sins and misery, knowing there's only one way of salvation, in the Lord Jesus Christ, look for him. And to them that look for him, he shall appear the second time. We'll see him again. And what will he look like? Something on the cross? Someone on the cross? Someone suffering? Someone shedding blood? No. You will see him in a different sense, people of the Lord. We'll see him without sin and its consequences. You see him exalted. So you'll see him lifted up, glorious as king, no blood, no sweat, no suffering, no pain, no fear, no anguish. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto salvation. So God's people will be saved. They are saved. They don't have to be saved anymore. Wrong. God's children are saved and will be saved. Because they are saved in a sense, saved, they are forgiven, right? Saved in a sense that they have a new heart, yeah, that's right. But there is still a struggle. Still, that sanctification part, still trying to not sin against the Lord. They still are in the dangerous territory under the influence of Satan. They still have flesh. So the Lord in principle has saved them, but they're still struggling, still fighting. And that fight will come to an end. The death and the resurrection. So Christ comes to fully save them, to save them from all sin, all its consequences, all the power of it, from Satan's influence, and it will be all well. So it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear gloriously without sin unto salvation. That's the text. Now the application. What do we do with this? What's the sense of listening to this? A few points. What do you think of time? Redeem the time, the days are evil. You don't know how much time you have to raise this child. Redeem the time. Be conscious. Think this might be the last day they can hold him. Hold her, say something, pray for her, pray for him. We are unsure of our time. Redeem the time, because it is appointed to man once to die. So hurry, be conscious, seek for yourself, for the child. There's a whole list of little pieces. I don't want to number them, too many of them. May it humble us. They feel so strong, so big, so worthy, so godly maybe. But you know, you and your child and your grandchild and your grandchildren and all of them and everyone, someday we must die. Dust thou art, and then to dust thou shalt return. Who are we? Who are we? We think a lot of ourselves, right? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Mortality teaches us that we have no control of children's lives and that they're ultimately not ours. My boy, my child, holding it in my arms, it's mine, not yours, it's mine. Right, I see your point. But you know, your child is not really yours. The Lord has it. The Lord decides. The Lord says, what about your opinion? Your opinion does not count. My opinion counts. My thoughts count, rather. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's creation. It's the Lord who has given it a place in the church and sanctified it in outward sense. It's the Lord's will. Nothing else counts. The Lord overrules all your will. May it make us feel dependent. You can feel so in charge, right? To save this child, make the child safe and sound and sure and okay. But you know, maybe depend upon the Lord and say, Lord, I am not in charge, thou art. It's not my child ultimately. The Lord has given it for a while to me to raise it. I have to let go again. Feel dependent. May it drive us on our knees. Never ever forget it anymore. In my first congregation, a boy, 2 years old, Andrew, he drowned. You go to the house and they phone you. They're wet on the bed, still in his clothes. And you go home, and you call an older minister, or a young minister. What do I say? And he said to me, was it a child's must prayer, you think? Well, I'm sure it was not. I'm not going into details. It was not. When your child dies, was it a child's must prayer? Pray for them. Because it's someday the Lord will take it. Now you have died already, maybe, hopefully. He'll take it. It's appointed, wants to die. It's going to happen. Pray. Pray for yourself, for your child, because you will stand for God and the books will be opened and you don't want them to stand with a terror. But confident and with the Savior Jesus Christ. Being conscious of our mortality should encourage us to talk to our children, tell them the truth. Do you talk? When they die, say, I wish I would have said something else. Was spoken to them more. Encourage them. Talk to them. As soon as you can, talk to them. When they grow older, have a bond with them. And speak up. Express yourself well. Come into truth. Warn them. Invite them. They have the time yet. All the precious time. Before you know, they leave the house. Before they leave, before you know they're married. Before you know it, they're gone. Speak to them warmly. Bring your children There's a little bit of overlap between those points, but that's fine, I think. We say it in a different sense, bring your children to Jesus, right? They brought the children to Jesus, right? And the disciples said, no, they're way too young. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, let them come. Bring your children to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in talking to them, also in praying for to them and lifting them up, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may highly esteem him and begin to need him. Speak about the law and the gospel, about Adam and Christ. Bring them to him. Be not content with them adhering to sound doctrine and reformed lifestyle. Be not content. When they behave, when they are always in church, when they're always properly dressed, and they're always this and that, and there's examples to be proud of, do not be content with that. Say, Lord, they need more, because they are appointed ones to die, and after that judgment, they must need more. They need Christ who bore the sins of many and will appear unto them that look for him unto salvation. Have your children turned their back to the word? You say, I can't talk to them anymore about that, because then they won't come home anymore. I see. Don't accept this. Don't settle for this. Don't say, well, I'm never to talk with them anymore about this. I can't. I just close that chapter. Don't close that chapter. You can't speak. I know what you mean. But you can't keep your mouth closed either, right? You can't. Because they must die. Because they stand for God's judgment seat, you must also once in a while, in a loving way, speak. You must speak. Don't settle. Don't accept this. Those prodigal sons and daughters, even if they said one more word, never coming home anymore. Be careful. Not pushing it. But you can't say, I'm not going to talk anymore. You know what foolishness is? What is foolishness? Foolishness is talking a lot about things that matter a little. That's foolishness. Talking a lot and thinking a lot. Thinking a lot, let's say. Thinking a lot about things that matter a little. And thinking little of things that matter a lot. It's foolishness. So think of this. If you don't think of death much, you are a fool. Teach us to number our days that we may receive wisdom. Wisdom. It's wise to number your days and the days of your children, to be conscious and aware of what life is about, what human life is about, what eternity is about. Raise them as pilgrims, not as vacationers. As pilgrims, show them in your entire lifestyle. They are here on earth only for a while, and pilgrims here below. And don't raise them as vacationers, kind of enjoying life, entertaining them as much as you can. That's good to entertain them, to do things together is important. But you know, I don't know where the limit is. Our conscience should speak here. But raise them as pilgrims and let them feel dad and mom are called to the fact that they are not here forever, and show them that example. And about yourself, you must die. Parents, grandparents, single ones, whoever it is, examine your own heart. You have only one life. Only one time you die. And if you miss the point and make a mistake, you deceive yourself, it's too late. You must know for sure you're not deceiving yourself, right? Because it's appointed man wants to die, and after that judgment, you need to know that Christ Jesus, check it. Do I know something of my sins, to bear the sins of many? If many sins also, you know about those sins of many? But you also know of that look for him unto salvation, to appear the second time, the desire, if you rather if you love this world more than him, it's wrong. You may are mistaken. About yourself, make your calling and election sure. Seek the assurance of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Seek that before you die, now already. Hopefully it's still years later. For yourself and your children, Lord, give that. I will fear no evil. Seek what you find in Philippians 1:21. For to me, very personal, Apostle Paul, very personal. For to me, we talk about me. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So, may you know something of those things. Keep yourself close to Christ. Long more. Fight the good fight. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek him. Seek to know him more and more. Fight the good fight of faith. That is a fight that will be conquered by the Lord himself. So, congregation, you're going home. I have a request. You think about it this afternoon. You visualize for yourself on your deathbed. You're not going to make it long anymore. It's a few hours yet. Think about it. Let it sink in. Someday I must die after judgment. And also think about what you deserve, knowing that you are an image bearer of the Lord originally, and lost that image, and I want to see it back. He does not forget how he has made us. Seek him, and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. You may someday see him, without sin, appearing to his church, and to salvation, full salvation. Children, you can die too. Sometimes the farmers mow the grass, harvest the grass when it's tall. Sometimes it is shorter. And so the Lord's machines come to the old grass and to the young grass. Also, young people can die. And therefore, be prepared and seek the Lord before it is too late. Someday you stand there, old or young. seek the Lord and His strength. He is stretching out His arms unto you. He has labeled you. He has earmarked you, sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of the church ought to be baptized. Amen. Almighty Lord, we beseech Thee now to apply this word, that some may be pricked in the hearts and go home slain and stuck and ungodly and in trouble and seeking and sighing the Lord, I must die and I'm not prepared. But Lord, you've heard of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, take the hands, take the hearts of sinners and bring them, Lord, to that Savior. His name is Christ, He's the King. He's the high priest, He's the prophet, He can save people to the uttermost. He can save anyone, anyone. Lord, forgive the shortcomings and use that own word to Thy glory. Help us with this day, bring safely back home and safely back to church tonight. In Jesus' name alone, in the forgiveness of our sins. Be with the parents who have expressed the desire to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. Lord, give them to also now do their best, their utmost, on their knees. In Jesus' name alone, amen.